help you? I think the way that works is that it helps you become closer, and when you become closer, you automatically receive. It is not that he is not giving, but your efficiency of absorbing that grace that he is permeating around you always, it improves. You know, when you develop that one-on-one relationship with God, it just helps you absorb his grace that is already surrounding you. Many times I remember when Narada Dharma was here before he died, and, you know, I don't remember what was the issue, but I was going through some very, very difficult time, you know, and it was a torturous time of my life. And Dada was very close to Narada Dharma, and, you know, Narada Dharma was also very close devotionally to Baba. So he went to see Baba and said, "Get it, do you have any message? I know I will get a chance to see Baba in person, you know." I said, "No, it's fine. Just give my pranam to Baba, tell Baba I miss him." "Okay. But, you know, this problem you're going through." I said, "No, it's all Baba's grace." So he got a chance to see Baba. And then Baba asked, how is my kid doing? How is it?" "Don't remind me about his problem. I know. You don't have to tell me about it. I'm already doing what I have to do. You don't need to remind me." So he told me, Dada came back and told me. I said, "Dada, why you did that? You know, I didn't tell you to do this." And he said that Baba told me that. "Don't remind me. I already know. I'm already doing what I have to do. Don't remind me about it." So Parampurush knows what needs to be done in each case very clearly, and he is already doing it. So basically it's up to us to develop that strength of personal relationship so that we can see his purpose very clearly. It's kind of interesting because everything is around us. Simply, we have to. It's like this light. If the light is on, now we are seeing everybody and everything. But suddenly, the light goes and everything is dark. Everything is present, but everything gets dark. So, relationship with God, relationship with Guru, is like this light. It creates a light, and you can see everything in its true state. But one thing I can tell you with all the honesty of my heart, I can tell you that, I can vouch you for that, and I'm as clear and as emphatic as I am about the death. Death is very certain, and also very certain is His grace. It surrounds you, it is present, it is around you. You are never alone. Never lost. This much I can vouch for. If you don't believe anything I say, but believe this one thing, because I know it to be true. So, you know, never despair, never be depressed, and never lose heart, but ask for His grace, and you will get it. And you will come across whatever it is, you know, whatever the problems are there, you will come across it. Everybody is with Raghu. Raghu wants
it.
No, you, personally, in your meditation.
The way I'm initiated. We usually concentrate on we have subtle sound, light and vibration. So that keeps us bound from not allowing the senses to run around. It becomes easy to concentrate. I had problems before I got initiated, but not able to concentrate on those things. But after I got initiated to Kriya Yoga, it just becomes like easy. Not struggle so much when I say it, because I have been able to have posture, able to soften my mind by breath especially. Because once breath becomes very, very feeble, well, breath becomes mind.
Yes.
And thoughts disappear all of a sudden.
I was going to say that. Thank you. I was going to say that I mentioned last time, right, we talked about pranendriya. Right? I think everybody's here, we talk about pranendriya. You know, and pranendriya has a direct relationship to improving the efficiency of your meditation. It's directly related. We talked at length about pranendriya, right? So, go ahead.
Yeah, once we do the pranayama through all the chakras, mind actually, you can feel that mind does not exist. So it depends how, with what intensity and with what concentration you do the pranayama through the chakras. Mind really stops. You can feel that there is no thought, thought process. It becomes easy to see the light.
How about you, Sen? What is your, what helps you the most in achieving concentration?
Many things that Brian told, so I couldn't think of something. So desire is very important. Very, very important. Desire is creative.
When you are meditating, you know, you are struggling with concentration. At that time, what helps you? I understand that when you start with a strong desire, you will always have a good meditation. But when you are meditating, even when you have good desire, then even then you're going to lose concentration. So what, is there something that is helpful at that time?
I can add one thing. I had problems when I was meditating, mind was not stabilizing. If I don't do pranayama and then just sit for meditation, it is very difficult. But what I observed is, if I sit and then don't move any limb or arm or anything, if I just keep my mind wherever I have to keep, I think automatically mind starts slowing down, the thought process will start slowing down. But once I start feeling the pain, I may feel the pain, but if I don't react to that pain or don't move anything, I think it helps a lot.
That is the first step. If I cannot concentrate, I just think that all throughout the meditation, I just have to sit still. That's the first thing I do.
Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, when he used to sit, it seems somebody used to come and put keys around him so that he cannot move everywhere, all joints and everywhere, and then he cannot do anything but meditate.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So because they said, I was reading some books, they say, mind is somehow connected to the body parts, so if you move here and then mind again goes this way, move here, mind goes this way. So if body is erect and have perfect posture, body is erect, I think automatically it starts slowing down.
Yeah.
Even though it may vibrate so much,
it
will slow down.
Good. Avoid all bodily movements.
Planning it ahead also. As soon as you go home, we first do this, and then we'll cook, or before, as soon as we're done cooking, we'll do something, you know, keep a slot there, and then
it becomes an automatic process.
And also, I think, for me, Prabhasambhi also, some of the songs also meaning, and which are like a softer melody, if we sing that before the meditation. I mean, I would rather do only Prabhasangi instead of Kirtan, and then that should be
definitely.
I think, like you said, in a set time, I'm struggling with that, following that pattern. I think if it is 6 o'clock in the morning, actually the mind automatically calms down at that particular time.
Music also helps, you know. The notes themselves have the power. Komal Gandhar, you know, flat third has certain power. For fourth note has certain power. You know, seventh and sixth, flat sixth has certain power. So these notes of music have some inherent power in them to help with that. And also, you know, following mechanism is important. If you follow mechanism, step by step, it also helps concentration. So you should know your process, shuddhis, your first lesson and the process involved. You should know small steps, and don't jump. You know, take smaller steps and build on it, you know. Then you will get further. It's like the story of the rabbit and the, you know, what?
Rabbit.
Tortoise.
Tortoise, yeah. Be like a tortoise, don't be like a rabbit. And do your mechanism step by step. Don't jump over the step. Take your time and do step and build on it, you know. Then it will not fall down. And then after a few minutes and stuff, you know, you'll find that concentration is building. Concentration is not like from nowhere to perfect. Now that also happens when I meditate sometimes. Sometimes my concentration builds. Sometimes my concentration from here, it goes that way too. And when that happens, is when I feel bhava suddenly in meditation. There are times when mind goes in thought and then jumps. You know, it's just like that. And then it starts building again.
One thing that helped me was sitting for meditation, if you can really visualize that Baba is sitting in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that will help a lot.
Yeah.
So, because if you feel that he is really sitting, you cannot.
Yeah.
Divert your mind anywhere, you know, better rather be sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
Concentrate.
Yeah. Those are all very good points. So
that will help, I think. So.
Those are all very good.
Yeah, my Acharya said that before you meditate, just ask him, Baba, please be with me while I meditate.
Yeah.
And that will help.
Yeah. I think. And also, you know, yeah, like before meditation, this is a good point. This is a very good point. Before you begin meditation, you kind of like, you know,
invoke him to come and sit
yeah.
and then
ask.
Like a strategy, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're playing football, right? Before you begin meditation, you have a strategy. You're going boxing, right? Your teacher say, hey, you know, this weak on that, like a strategy. Before meditation, have a strategy of what it is that you'll be doing, you know. So that's also that I have to be successful in this meditation. Now I'm not going to allow anything else to get in my way. These are the few things you should tell before meditating, you know, Baba. Meditate. I'm not going to allow anything to come in my way. You know, nothing is going on. And also, you know, like Milarepa's book also had some key elements in it, you know. You should remember those things that life is, you know, it's not permanent, it's impermanent. You know, everything is here is going to go away. And death is a certain thing. And the time of death is uncertain. Milarepa always used to say, that, you know, law of karma. Because his disciple asked him one day, and this whole paragraph, very beautiful paragraph, I like to quote it all the time. His disciple said that, you know, you were so determined to find God, and you were, because of this strong desire, you have the ability to meditate so strongly. We don't feel such strong desire for meditation. How can we create this desire for meditation? Then he answered this whole paragraph. He gave so many things in it. He said that, I can imagine you not having that desire to meditate. He said that once you know that law of karma is absolute, it is functional absolutely. Once you know the fact that the worldly things are impermanent in nature, will not be with you. once you know the fact that death is certain, and also that the time of death is uncertain. He always used to say, death is certain, but the time of death is uncertain. Both of these combination makes, you know, very powerful reason for you to meditate. And he said, after knowing the life history of the great masters, after knowing that law of karma is certain, after knowing that death is certain and the time of death is uncertain, how can you not but meditate? So invoke those truths. Remind yourselves about those truths. And then Lakshmi Buddha said that before meditation, you pronounce some pick some song that has some personal connection to you. And do that, and then so you have this warrior spirit. One Mila Rinpoche said will generate a warrior spirit. Prabhupada Sangeet will generate that devotional and personal sentiment. And so put all these forces together in your mind, and then you begin your meditation. So that's also a very good point. Who brought that up?
So,
before you begin meditation.
Yeah,
prelude to meditation.
Yeah, before.
So that's also a very good point.
Another thing is like this. In between, what happened was like my mind started becoming more materialistic. So what I did was, before going to bed, I'll read some spiritual book, you know, and slowly. It may sound very boring to begin with, because people watch TV or they. I used to watch a lot of TV before going to bed, but then I said, okay, let me change it. So before going to bed, I'll just take a book. Any good book and read. And slowly you come back in that circle. Yes. Slowly you start thinking that, you know, this thing which you are running after, that is totally impermanent. So I read some book, maybe a chapter or one page, or go to bed. Hopefully, it looks like your mind starts thinking about those things while you're sleeping. And it has a longer effect than you think.
Yeah.
The truth is awakening. Yeah. Which happened to me today when I was reading that book. I was reading it there, and then I carried it with me to the thing, and I couldn't stop reading it. It had been so long since I read something that mattered. You know, because I'm just reading this crap, you know. And then as soon as I read it, it was the truth awakened me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was great.
Somebody, Chandranaji, in fact, you know, that video we should see sometime. Chandranaji said, one of the things that is very good is before meditation read also was a book, like paragraph or something, you know, one or two pages or something short. He said that's also
while meditating in those concentration, is there anything?
I think what helps is this mechanism, you know. But you should know this mechanism very clearly without thinking. When you feel that you're struggling with concentration, then resort to this smaller step. You know, it's like when you're tired, you don't walk very fast, you take smaller steps. Same way when you're struggling with meditation, take the smaller steps of the mechanism and follow that. Because when you're struggling for meditation, you know, your concentration is not going to be good, you know. And it has this cumulative effect of creating frustration and then not doing meditation, which in turn creates frustration. So it's a self-perpetuating loop of failure. You know, it fails you, because one thing feeds the other into a negative spiral. So in those circumstances, I think what helps is to resort to the mechanism of this pratyahara dharana dhyana, and build on it slowly. It will be a dry meditation. It will not be very nice, fulfilling, sweet meditation. It will be a dry. But it will start creating the sweet juices to flow second later stage. You know, it's like a land that has become very hard. So you have to dig first, you know. There's no water in it, but you have to dig and break it down, right? And then it rains and then it becomes softer. Then you have to start digging. So if you're struggling with that, then follow it. It helps.
We have monkeys now, as you said, frustrated with yourself, thankful. Helpful is that you should not have fear of losing the concentration or frustration, because that's the nature of mind. It tends to go out. There are so many, 24 hours a day, we only meditate probably at most 2 hours a day. So it's the nature of the mind to go to seek for something tangible. So what I find is that first of all, I should not have fear. I know it's going away and I come back. I should not be frustrated by myself. I used to be frustrated and worse. It's frustration with the life. On top of the frustration of the life, meditation becomes another burden of self-improvement. So what I do is that I found actually meditation life is not separable. It's not separate. It's not. Life is meditation. Meditation is life. So devotion, as you said, devotion is the most important thing, not meditation itself. So what I do is that before I start the mechanism, what I do, first or third lesson, and as soon as I finish third lesson, I talk to Baba. All these worldly things, worldly worries and frustrations, no matter whatever it is, I talk to Baba. Because this is the person that I can talk to openly. So openly, open my heart. And completely trust him. That this brings complete trust. Sometimes I'm hopeless, sometimes I'm depressed, sometimes I don't have negative feelings, and I'll talk all these things to Baba. He gives me hope again. And then with this devotional feeling, it's much easier to concentrate for the later mechanism. And these days what I found also very helpful is every evening before I go to sleep, the last thing of the day before I go to sleep, to do the mudra. What's the name of mudra? Yeah. And sit. Do it seriously. Sit straight and think of Baba and then go to sleep. At that moment, that devotional feeling is even stronger than when I was doing meditation, because the day is finished. And that moment I feel very close to Baba. And every morning, the first thing after you woke up, the first mind comes into get up and think of
Baba. You're supposed to do that, right? It's called what? Kulusakash.
Kulusakash. And I find it very helpful.
Yeah.
It sets the tone of the day. I may get lost with the daylight, but still I will come back.
That's very good. Kulusakash. You should practice that. Okay.
It does, don't you?
I have a couple more. We can do the recording, right? This is good. Take away expectations. Admit out loud inside yourself what it is that you've been hooking onto. You know, like what your mind's been onto. You know, admit it out loud. You know, and then it'll create the sincerity. You know, and I was doing it now. When you've been away for a long time, don't get. It's like lifting weights. When you used to lift weights, you're not just going to get up to 225 pounds when you have to lift the weights in a year. So then, it's basically what you said, but you realize that intuitively, you know, we all kind of know it. Like, just start, like, today is meditation, because my mind has been, you know, in a bunch of mud. I just was fine staying at the bottom chakra, you know, not even trying to go through every single one, and I was fine with that. Like, I took away the expectation, I took away, oh, I'm going to go do it, and I just stayed there. And then maybe got to the second one, maybe the third, but I'm not doing it good, so I'm just going to stay here. And then it builds up for later on in the week. I just wanted to get those on record.
Yeah.
I think that's very, I also try, like, Shuddhis, when you do it most of the time will be spent on shuddhis rather than the actual practice of meditation. That, even if you spend a very little bit of time doing the final part of the meditation, the shuddhis is what plays. So I try to do that. I lose concentration, go back to the start, and then start over again.
Sadhana can also help to purify
these
chakras.
What?
There's one thing that I found. I don't know if this only makes sense to me, you know, but sometimes when I get into really, really deep meditations, this thought, or this has really helped me. Just think about it, or meditate on it, okay? Realize who it is that is actually meditating. Realize who it is that is actually meditating when you do that. Just meditate on that. Who is it that's actually meditating? Think about that. And when I've thought about that in deep, deep meditations, it's brought me to really, really deep, deep places. Who is it that is meditating? You know, who is it that is meditating? You'll quickly lose your small eye, and you'll see what I'm saying. Like, who is it that's meditating? It's really the one of the lessons. You know, who is it that's meditating? You know, you are him. Or I am him, right? Who is it that's doing the? There's a trick going on.
Yeah.
You know, who is it that is meditating, and you'll lose yourself?
Yeah.
That's helped me when I've been doing it in practice. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you something. You know, spirituality is a difficult thing to climb in life, but if you follow certain discipline, then it makes it much, much easier. And one thing is, you know, things like what we are doing right now, just the simple Friday classes, you know, it really, it's like if you exercise every day same way, this thing is refocuses life. So it's very important to have these things that we are coming on Friday and meditating. And like what I said earlier, I'll tell you that, you know, one of the most dangerous things on spiritual path is falling asleep. Falling asleep in life and never waking up for 20 years, 25 years. And then you wake up at year 55 in spiritual life. And that's very dangerous. That happens to people. And when they wake up, they are 55, 60.
In fact, some people don't even wake up.
Yeah.
They die directly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so sad.
So to prevent that, these thing classes are very important. And I said earlier, this clarity of goal. If you have clarity of goal, and if you have this sentiment awakened, it's like an insurance policy. You know, I tell you this from my personal experience, that if you have clarity of goal and this devotional outlook, you know, clarified, it is an insurance policy that will bring you back. You know, even if you may run into in your life a situation whereby you are, there are no margis, there's no place, you know. You are both working in some little town out in Nebraska. You know, working there. Suddenly you are cut off from everything, everybody. You know? But if you are establishing these two things, it will not fail you. Bring you back. It's a force. So I really urge you that you think about these things. Build yourself a safety net. And you know, when you have this Friday night sessions, it's very easy to bring you back on course. But when you don't have it, then you need to start building that safety net for yourself now. And that safety net is clarity of goal. These are two minimum things, clarity of goal and psychic outlook.